Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay. So, let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right.
So,
okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but, see, you don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh. Well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
How about that? God can't be the Lord of your life if you're the Lord of your life, right? That video so clearly says that. I want to start with the verse that we started with Sunday. Tonight's just going to be a continuation of Sunday, and I'm going to speak to you about 10 minutes here, and then I'm going to have the band come back up, and we're just going to worship again. We're going to sing. We're going to cry out to God. We're going to tonight just worship Him and make sure that we are fully centered around the gospel of Jesus. So, I think it's, even though this is the second Wednesday night of the month, it's very appropriate to be here tonight. We just launched on Sunday 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so for those of you that were here and got on board with that, today is about day three or day four for you. And it's one of those days, day three or day four, when you start thinking, 21 days is a long time. Are we sure we just didn't want to do 3 days of prayer and fasting? And it's that time when you think, I think I got it. I think I got what I was supposed to get. I think the Lord showed me right about Monday afternoon exactly what He was wanting me to see. I think I'm good. I think I'm done. God bless you, the rest of y'all that are still struggling and still want to figure out what God wants in your life. But it's interesting as you go along this fast and along this journey. And if you haven't started yet, jump in with us. It's not too late. You can start today, start tomorrow. You can go till 21 days if you start on Sunday, would end on Saturday the 25th. You can go to then, you can go 20. It doesn't really matter. This is not about everybody following the exact same plan. We're hoping that everybody at some point will consecrate themselves. And that comes from Joshua 3 and 5, when Joshua was speaking to the Israelites when they were about to go into the promised land and conquer Jericho. Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And we believe that in 2014, the Lord is going to do wonders among us as a church, as us as families, as us as individuals. Can I get an amen on that? We believe that. But we don't want to just jump into 2014 thinking that He should bless our mess, that we have accumulated during 2013. We want to separate ourselves, set ourselves apart. That's what consecration is. Set yourself apart. I was speaking to a young college student this week, and I said, you got to live life. And she said, I wish I could just, some points I could just go live in a convent, just get away from society, get away from the pressure and the temptation and all that. And I said, that's what this is. For 21 days, you're living in a convent. It's just at your house, and it's just at your work, and you just are around other people. But for 21 days, you are setting yourself apart. We're going all in for the all in all. We're going all in, no more holding back. We're taking all the chips of our life, shoving them to the center of the table. We're all in, and we're not just all in on ourselves. The hand that we hold is not ourself, it's not our education, our money, our experience, but the hand that we hold and that we're going all in playing this hand is the gospel of Jesus. The cards that we hold in our hand are the fact that our God loves us so much that he came to this godforsaken earth that he left and put it into our hands. We screwed it up. He loves us so much that he came back to this earth like us, as one of us. He was God incarnate, Jesus Christ, the man. He lived an innocent life, took on the sins of the earth, and paid for us to be connected to him again. He earned the right for us as humans to become connected to him again. His perfection, his beauty. That's awesome news. That we don't earn that, we don't deserve that, we don't fight for it to try to figure it out. Jesus Christ did it all, and that's not the end. The end of this world is going to be complete resolution. That all the bad things that have happened are going to be undone. All the things that we are a victim to, and the things that we don't deserve, and the things that have fallen upon us, the hard times, the bad times, the brokenness of this earth. God came to the earth as a man, Jesus, to pay for complete resolution at some point. We put our hope in that. We put our hope in the fact that he's got it all under control. He's the one that does all the hard work. We put our hope in the fact that he loves us, he forgives us, and that he's going to make everything perfect. Everything's going to be right. All wrong's going to be undone because of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. We put our hope in that. We put our trust in that. And we all say that. Amen? But do you really believe it? That's the question that you ask yourself over the next 21 days. And you fast and you set yourself apart to see if what you're saying with your mouth and what you've always thought in your head is really what is being lived out in your everyday life. Is what you're saying with your mouth actually what you're trusting in? And so when we fast and we separate ourselves, we're asking ourselves two types of questions. The first question that we ask ourselves, is there anything in my life that's between me and God? Is there anything in my life that is between me and God? Basically, this question is, are there any crutches in my life? Is there anything that is a crutch that I'm using instead of leaning on Christ, leaning on him? Am I leaning on anything else? The other set of questions that we ask ourselves is this idol question, which is there anything in the place of God? Is there anything in my life that has become my God that's not Jesus? We say that he is our God, but is there anything that we're trusting in that's not him? Are we using something as a crutch to help us in difficult times that's not Jesus? Are we looking to something or someone else that's not Jesus, and that has become our idol? I was just speaking to a couple a few minutes ago. We often, as Christians, as churchy people, think that idols could be like these horrible things, you know, these addictions like crack, cocaine, drugs, immoral acts that are not scriptural, that are not with your spouse, all these things that we could do, possibly do. We think these are idols. We think that money is this idol and all this stuff is our idol. But really, an idol is anything that becomes too important. It is even good things that become the main thing. So as a believer sitting here at Second Wednesday worship, you think, I got that. There's no idols in my life. I don't have any golden calves hanging up in our living room. I'm not worshiping any idols or anything like that. There's nothing in my life that's an idol. But you are like this lady on the video. You just either overspend or overeat, or you do, you are considering your clout at work as something that is so important that it will depress you or give you fear, anxiety if you're not accepted or approved by other people. Or maybe the financial part of your life is falling apart and you're stressed and hurting and wondering how in the world anything is going to work out, and it's causing you hurt and pain and stress, and you're feeding that, and you think that if you just make more or earn more that everything will be okay. What you're saying is that success or money or my job or my education is really the only thing that matters, and if I can just satisfy it, I'll have peace in my life. What you're saying is that is my God. Anything that you want to appease or to depend on. So over the next 21 days, or maybe just until January 25th, we're going without things. Going without. So pick things to end, to stop, to refrain from. Things that have gotten in between you and God. What happens to our bodies when we don't have these things? What happens to our minds when we don't have these things? What would happen if I depended on Jesus Christ instead of anything else? If I don't have these things in my life, how will I respond to life? How will I respond to my spouse? How will I respond to my God? So if we put our hope in His power, in His resolution, instead of eating or smoking or drinking or watching things that numb us, distract us, cloud things out, confuse our present painful reality. Think about how often we watch things, we drink things, we eat things, we swallow things, we sniff things, we have new relationships, new friends, whatever. We keep throwing things at ourselves to numb, to distract, to confuse, to forget about, to escape for a while. There's a big difference between Sabbath rest and escaping things. And I think most modern people in our culture, we're escaping whenever we can and using all these crutches, all these synthetics, all these things that are not the gospel, not Jesus. And so the only way to find out where we are spiritually is to jump in and see what happens. Jump all the way in and find out, where am I weak? What is painful? What is hurting? Why am I wanting to satisfy this craving? How am I trying to satisfy this craving? How am I going to deal with this issue? So that's what fasting is all about, taking away things that normally give you comfort, normally give you rest. And then hopefully at the end of this session, this 21 days of you going into this spiritual rest, set apart time, at the end of this, God is going to reveal to you where weakness is in your heart that you didn't even realize. And He's going, through His Holy Spirit, give you the strength to overcome it. Amen? Amen. Let's talk about one more thing, and then I'm going to be done. In the times, because there's going to be a lot of them between now and 21 days, or 15 days from now, whatever it is. In those times when you are hungry, in those times when you are craving a cookie, can I get a witness on that one? A cupcake. Let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about it. Maybe you're wanting a drink of something. Whatever you've cut out, whether it be alcohol or caffeine or whatever it is that you are saying no. In those moments, those are the difficult moments, so let's talk about those moments for a second. Is that all right with you? Let's talk about those moments when we want to quit, when we want to give in. The first thing that we do is we meditate on truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ loves us more than we love ourselves, more than we could ever love anyone else. We can't understand that. We meditate on that truth while in the midst of that hunger, in the midst of that desire, that craving, we start to meditate on the truth. Lord, in the midst of this difficulty, I'm focusing the fact that you love me more than anything. I'm still hungry. I still want a cookie. We call on His Spirit. We call on the Holy Ghost to fill us with strength in the transition from those vices in our life. We pray, Holy Spirit, come now. I need you more than I've ever needed you. What is it in my life that in this moment you can reveal to me in this brokenness, in this hurt, in this separation? I don't want to waste this, what I'm doing right now. Lord, show me. Reveal to me. We meditate upon His love. We call upon the Holy Spirit to give us the strength. And we know, somebody say, we know. We know that there is spiritual transformation in the midst of this hurt that's going on inside of us. You need to hold on to that truth. You need to write that down. You need to remember it. However it takes, you need to remember this. There is something spiritual going on in my soul right now. There's something spiritual going on in my heart right now. Here's a list of things that we know about this spiritual transformation. The first is this. We can't see the spiritual transformation happening yet. I can't see it exactly what's happening right now. In the middle of your hunger, in the middle of your want for whatever it is that you're longing for, we know there's spiritual transformation, but we cannot see it immediately. It is very, well, no, that is very rare. I have had in the last week, as I've been fasting, things, I've had amazing spiritual moments, very positive, very great. So it's going to happen sometimes during those fasts. But there's also some heavy times after that. And so we know in the middle of those that A win for the fast is not that we're strong the whole time, that we can see the spiritual growth the whole time. Okay, so as you're fasting, for those of you that are new to this, it's not going to be like this steady spiritual euphoria that just comes. And at the last 21st day, you're just riding this high that you've never had before because you just suffered so long. Okay? What you need to know is that there's growth that's happening in your heart and your soul right now that you cannot see. Lisa, y'all come on up. There's things going on in your heart that you cannot see. Number two, we will see it, and it will blow our minds. And it may be during a fast, but it quite possibly is going to be after the fast. Remember what the scripture says. Consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow God's going to blow your mind. God's going to knock down the walls of Jericho tomorrow, though, after the consecration. Y'all still with me? After the consecration, God's going to show up. And so we remember that. We trust in that. We put our hope in that. We don't see it right now, but it is going to happen. Amen. This transformation will establish God's kingdom. What I'm doing right now is going to establish God's kingdom like it never has in my heart and in the hearts of people around me, like it's never happened before. This transformation, I can't see it right now. It's going to happen, and it is going to establish the kingdom of God in my life like it has never been established before. Are y'all receiving this truth tonight? Please do. Please don't just go hungry, okay? Please don't just try to suffer and think that's going to do it. That's the final one. We're not buying or earning the spiritual transformation. We're simply getting out of the way so it can happen. So you're not earning this big star in heaven because you're suffering or fasting or going without. But you are getting out of the way. You're dying a death so that this transformation can happen. As long as we're fighting it, there's still life going on. There can't be God showing up and your selfishness. He's not going to compete with that. But if you're dead, if you just die, how many of y'all like the old, like 1950s, 1960s Westerns? You know, I'm talking John Wayne and all those. When they get shot back then, they don't just, they get shot and they're like knocking things over and their hat flying off, getting back up, shooting. Arm things are flying off the walls. You know what I'm talking about? And so many spiritual deaths happen that way too. Because we fight it. We're struggling. We're trying to make sure. In the midst of that, you're going to start seeing that, just like that video, it's going to pop up. Oh my goodness, I'm conflicting with what God's saying. And you can debate it and try to figure it out, or you can just die. Let's die. Y'all ready to die?